This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Awaiting a passenger revolt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It'll be interesting to see whether people start pushing back against the airlines. Just before this holiday weekend, the big carriers raised ticket prices again for the 11th time this year. American is going to charge people to check their first bag, and other airlines may follow. And U.S. Airways says it's doing away with the pretzels starting next weekend. All that, and you can't even get where you're going on time. Americans wasted 320 million hours last year on flight delays. That cost the economy $40 billion, according to one estimate. And that has caught the attention of Congress. Alisa Roth looks at what Congress could even do.
Flying a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon or, heaven forbid, on a holiday weekend, and you know exactly what the problem is.
The real issue is planes being scheduled to take off and land when there's not enough time or space to do it.
Roger King is an airline industry analyst. He says there are so many planes and so little airport infrastructure that the options for fixing the problems are actually pretty limited. One possibility is better use of GPS.
There'd be greater certainty as to where each plane is, and therefore you could fly them closer together.
There's also talk of expanding smaller airports to take pressure off the big ones. But really, King says the best option is for the government to limit the number of flights.
If they would restrict the number of takeoff and landings, it would result in higher fares, and it would also probably prompt the airlines over time to put bigger airplanes in each landing.
That could work for the airlines. A bigger plane costs more to fly than a smaller one, but per seat, it's actually cheaper. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Airlines shares are just getting hammered right now. Then again, the price of oil is taking down all kinds of stocks. In Japan today, the Nikkei had its biggest loss in 6 weeks, a drop of 2.3%. Elsewhere in Asia, stocks fell 1.5%. Oil's trading at about $133 a barrel this morning. Wall Street and London have the day off. Friday, the Dow fell 150 points to wrap up Wall Street's worst week in 3 months. The Dow is at 12,479. The stock market could really use the traditional summer rally this year. Or wait, is that an old wives' tale? I forget.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Good thing we have Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Well, Mr. Sloan, is there anything to the summer rally?
Well, if you look at the numbers, you would discover that in the months of July and August, the market goes up far more than it goes down. And in June, it's roughly 50-50, whether it goes up or down, the Dow. I don't think the market cares what season it is, because, in fact, for 10 months of the year, the Dow historically has gone up more often than it's gone down. There are only 2 months when it hasn't. So, I mean, you can have a seasonal rally pretty much in any season, but people have picked on summer.
But is there any reasonable basis for these numbers?
Oh, no. And then there's a counter myth, just to confuse us more. Have you ever heard the line, sell in May and go away?
Yes, of course.
I mean, and that doesn't really make any sense either, but it sounds good.
But there is some statistical basis for what happens in September, isn't there?
Right. September, the odds are that stocks will go down. Now, that doesn't happen every September, because if it happened every September, then everybody would know about this and it would stop happening. But historically, September has been the worst month of the year for mm-hmm. the Dow. I mean, those are the only numbers I have, because the Dow is what you analyze when you're being playful. The S&P is what you analyze when you're being serious. And the analyses you see are largely playful. So, I mean, maybe it should be, does anything rhyme with August? I mean, maybe sell in August and
that should be the new one. Well, I think if you're basing your stock market investing on astrological signs, you might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's generally not the way to do it. Though I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm sure that's good.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, May 26th on Marketplace.org. The largest labor union in Britain, Unite, has agreed to merge with one of this country's biggest unions, the United Steelworkers. The deal announced yesterday will create the first transatlantic labor group. More now from Stephen Beard in London.
The two unions are planning to merge later this summer. The new organization will represent almost 3 million workers in manufacturing, finance, and the public sector in the US, Canada, Britain, and the Caribbean. But this is only the first step. They've also put out feelers to other unions in Asia, Eastern Europe, and Latin America. Derek Simpson is joint head of Unite. He says an international union will have real bargaining clout.
We have a view that we need a global trade union in order to be able to deal effectively and on a par with the many global companies that we now have members working for.
Some analysts say this raises the prospect of global strikes, and it may make it more difficult for some big companies to shift production to cheaper locations abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
South Africa's president is condemning the recent violence in that country's poorest communities. In the last couple of weeks, at least 50 immigrants have been killed. Some of those arrested in this violence blame immigrants for depriving locals of jobs. Gretchen Wilson looks at how this could affect Africa's biggest economy.
At the end of apartheid, South Africa became known as the Rainbow Nation, and one of its colors was green. Its economy's grown steadily since 1998. GDP climbed nearly 6% last year. Jeff Rothschild is with the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
We expect the growth to remain positive, and that is a draw card. Investors want to invest where there is going to be growth, where there are opportunities.
But those opportunities may shrink if the violence drives away the immigrant population that helps to fuel this economy. 40% of skilled mine workers here come from neighboring countries, such as Malawi and Mozambique. And while the country's biggest mining companies say it's been business as usual, three gold mining firms last week reported production problems because some workers didn't punch in. The head of South Africa's mine workers union says there's been no exodus of skilled miners, but analysts say investors are reassessing the nation's risk. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Time once again for Conversations from the Corner Office.
The boss will see you now.
Procter & Gamble is the world's biggest consumer products company. It makes a long list of things you may have used before. Charmin, Tide, Pringles, Pampers, Folgers. Procter & Gamble's CEO is a true company man. He's worked his entire career there. Kai Rizdahl recently caught up with A.G. Laffley at P&G's Cincinnati headquarters.
Consumers are notoriously fickle. They're sensitive to price. They're sensitive to packaging. They're sensitive to position on store shelves.
Consumers are great. I mean, honestly.
I think you have to say that. Come on.
No. But what you said, they are demanding. They are inconsistent. They are hard to understand. They do not say what they mean. You know, we work very hard to get at what we call unarticulated needs because it's very difficult for consumers to tell us.
It's interesting that you speak of the consumer as they, because you're a guy who goes to the grocery store and buys laundry detergent and razor blades. When you do that, somewhere in the back of your mind, is it churning that, oh, this product design isn't really all that great and we need to see about better shelf space and all that?
One thing my people know is when I've spent a Sunday in stores. Because I come back with a lot of suggestions on Monday morning.
Must drive them nuts.
Well, hopefully not. I think they're used to me by now.
You're lucky in a lot of ways that you sell stuff people really need. I mean, we're always going to have to brush our teeth. We're always going to have to shave and do our clothes. Are you worried about the state of the economy and the consumer mindset?
Well, I am a worrier by nature. I think it's very difficult to understand what's really going on in the U.S. economy right now. If you listen to the politicians and a lot of the discussion in the media, you would think we're mired in recession and ain't things awful. If you look at the hard numbers, we're still eking out very modest growth. And maybe it's no growth, and who knows, maybe we have slipped into negative growth in the last month or two.
What does that mean for this company?
The biggest pressure right now is clearly costs. You know, it's energy costs and commodity costs. just about anything that is dug out of the ground, all the minerals, most of the agricultural commodities, the prices are just up across the board. This year that we will finish June the 30th, we have had to cover about $1.4 billion in additional cost. And what that means is we're going to be taking more pricing than we've taken for a while, and that's going to put pressure on consumers.
To hear more of our conversation with A.G. Lafley, check out our website, marketplace.org. Here's some fodder for your Memorial Day cookout. Rumors are swirling that a Belgian company is interested in buying Anheuser-Busch, which of course makes Budweiser. The name of the company is InBev. They make Stella Artois. If Stella and Bud got together, the company would distribute a quarter of the world's beer. As it is, Anheuser-Busch controls almost half the U.S. market. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.